Matthew 11. He says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it," Jesus says. "Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live life freely and lightly." Let's pray. God, the rest that you offer, that you freely offer, may it be that today we say yes to that rest. And that in that rest, we learn to live freely. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So at the close of this four-week journey on the theme of Sabbath, I want us to move on from theory and theology toward faithful embrace of Jesus' invitation to enjoy or delight in his love. Again, it has been our goal for the past several weeks to encourage us as individuals and as a community of faith, as a church, to get some rest, to take a break, to stop, to pause, rest from our work, rest from our chaos, rest from our anxiety, rest from our feelings of inadequacy, rest from conflict, rest from worry, rest from busyness. I pray that we bring delight to worship and create in our schedules consistent and regular times of Sabbath and rest. And remember, this is an invitation from Jesus, who knew how to take a break, how to take a rest. Look throughout the Gospels and you see on several occasions the Gospel writers are talking about the busyness of Jesus. And he went here, he walked here, and he healed these people. And he went here and he healed these people. And because of those healing, crowds and crowds followed him and they pushed toward him. And so Jesus often, the text says, often withdrew to solitary places to take a break. So it's my understanding that who better to get away with, to learn how to take a break, than Jesus Christ himself. And it is he who offers this invitation. If you're worn out, if you're tired, if your brain right now is just so clogged, it's just a million things going on in your head and your heart, he's saying, come away with me, because I'll show you how to take a real rest. I'll show you the unforced rhythms of grace so that you will live freely and lightly. I do not wish to make any of us feel guilty. In fact, the very opposite is being done. That was the very opposite of what Jesus was doing. When he offered this invitation, he wasn't trying to make people feel guilty or bad. He was offering relief. I've shared in the past that Jesus' words here in Matthew 11 are words that are similar to the words spoken by ancient Jewish rabbis who were compelling potential students to follow them. So in the ancient days, if there was a rabbi who wanted followers, like you couldn't just go and sign up to follow and study under any rabbi you chose to. Now that was back in ancient Judaism, Hebrew boys, that was one of the top jobs, that was to be a rabbi. And that was would only take place if you followed and studied under the tutelage of a rabbi. But as I said, I couldn't just go up to a good rabbi. If Marshall over here was one of the top Hebrew rabbis, I mean, he's one of the top Reynoldsburg rabbis, but if he was one of the top Hebrew rabbis, I couldn't just go up to Rabbi Marshall and say, "Hey, I'm about to follow you and learn from you." That's not how it worked. Rabbis would go, and they would go to some of the schools of Hebrew boys, and they would choose select boys who they thought could follow them because their teachings were hard teachings and difficult teachings, and they couldn't just have anyone following them because those who followed him would have to carry on his legacy. And so he wanted the top of the class. He wanted the top, 0.5%. He didn't just want anybody. And so if a rabbi identified a young boy who he wanted to follow him, he would go up to the young boy and he would say, "May you be covered in my dust," which is to say, "I want you to follow me. I want you to follow me so close that when I walk and dust kicks up, it will get on you. So may you be covered in my dust." And then the rabbi would say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." That's what rabbis would say. Take my yoke, which is to say, I want you to be covered in my dust. I want you to follow me so close. I want you to listen to everything I say. I want you to teach the way I teach. I want you to read what I read. I want you to be me. Take my yoke upon you. And so the words that Jesus utters here in Matthew was something that would have been familiar, that Jewish men in particular would have known. Now, there are some subtle yet ginormous differences contained within Jesus' invitation to take on that yoke. For one, Jesus didn't just call the best and the most talented, the most prepared, or the most popular, or the most put together. These were the ones that were often left out of the loop and would not have been chosen by the best rabbis. But here we find the absolute best rabbi offering the invitation to follow to anyone who would listen and say yes. Another difference found in Jesus' call, in his description of his yoke. His yoke is easy and light. Again, in contrast to many of his contemporary rabbis whose prestige depended upon how good and complicated they made it for their followers. Jesus is saying, "Come to me, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I," Jesus says, I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's why I like the Message translation that says, "Are you worn out on religion?" Because often followers of some of these rabbis would be so worn out by the load and the work and not getting it right. And if you weren't holding up right, you know what? You dropped off. Yep, you're not gonna cut it. Can't have you following me, messing up my legacy. But here's Jesus saying, I'm gentle. I'm humble. In fact, you follow me, you take my yoke, you'll find rest. Church, it is my belief that we accept Jesus' invitation for rest. If we accept his invitation, it will lead to blessed lives, blessed homes, blessed communities, and a blessed world. We will find ourselves being better for the planet if we get some rest. Now, I find it fascinating that within the past few years, psychologists, sociologists, and all these experts with, all these letters after their name, who study, they study rest, and they study the connection between rest and work productivity. And they're starting to recommend that workers get more rest. In fact, someone even put a figure. They said that $63 billion of productivity is lost every year because people are tired. And so you had some researchers that did some study. They took some people who did some consistent rest and some people who did not have consistent rest in their schedules. They said about the workday at work, those who took a 30-minute nap during work, they discovered that during an 8-hour shift that the mind literally begins to deteriorate. They said those who took a 30-minute nap during the workday, during their break time, they actually slowed that deterioration. Those who took a 60-minute nap reversed it. Now, I understand that many of us in here aren't afforded the opportunity to take a nap at work. I'm not going to say that I do. I do have a nice, comfortable couch in my office, and I may or may not have taken a couple of naps in my office or in my chair. But there's just something about a power nap. How many of y'all know about those power naps? I mean, they hit you, and I told y'all last week about my father. My father knew how to nap, man. My father knew how to take a power nap, and when he emerged out of those naps, man, he just looked better. He operated better. We need power naps. There are a couple companies that are very successful. One company is called Zappos. I don't know if anyone has ever ordered shoes from Zappos. It's a shoe company. It is one of the most creative companies on the planet. They're starting to make their way into business textbooks because of the way that they do business. Nike as well. Many of us know about Nike. Some of you probably have on a pair of Nikes right now. These are two companies that at their headquarters, they have in their building on site rooms dedicated for quiet time and naps. Rooms full of couches, bean bags, chairs, and they encourage their workers not to go there for 8 hours and sleep, but to take 20 minutes, 30 minutes and nap. Because they believe that rested people, they believe that people who are well and healthy are better workers. Now how is it that in corporate America, they begin to see the connection between productivity and goodness and the bottom line being bigger if people take care of themselves? How have they discovered that in the business world? But in the kingdom of God, we seem to just ignore that. We think that we can just go and go and go and go and go, not just you know, professional and paid ministers, the whole church. We think that we can just go and go and go and go without rest. You see, what research has discovered is really not much of a discovery, because God originated it. God came up with this concept of rest and being more well when we are rested. Hence, God says in Exodus, as we've read this in the past, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigners residing in your towns. That means you don't do work, and you don't make others do work. It's rest. Everybody needs a respite. They need time to recharge. Sabbath is that which restarts and recharges us to live in unison, in harmony with the Creator. I used the word rhythm a couple of weeks ago. I have said on numerous occasions that we are co-creators with God. We are His partners. We are God's prized possession and the jewel of His creation. Last week at church camp, we looked at this psalm, Psalm 8. Listen to this wonderful psalm, and I want you to hear how God sees mankind, how God sees the people that He has created. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Though the praise of children and infants you have, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. Now listen to this, because this blows my mind. You made them, speaking of people, speaking of mankind, you made them a little lower than the angels, and crown them with glory and honor. How many times have you allowed that to be spoken into your life? How many times have you listened to this psalm and what it is saying about people? You have made them, talking about us humans, a little lower than the angels. When we think about angels, we think about majesty, and we think about woo, we think about power, we think about all these special things. Now listen, he says that God, you made people not a whole lot lower than the angels, just a little lower than the angels. And look what else it says. You made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put some things under their feet. Isn't that what the text says? You put some things. Am I reading it right? Am I getting that right? I want to make sure I get the Bible right. We in church, right? I want to read the Bible right. He put some things under their feet. Is that what it says? It doesn't say that? I got the wrong translation? Oh, you put everything. In Hebrew, you know what everything means? Everything. Very, very, very good. Y'all Hebrew scholars now. Everything. You put everything under their feet. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. Listen, I realize that as humans, we are prone to sinful behavior and disobedience, and we struggle to live this life. I accept that. But as God's creation, we have been created to be special residents on this planet. God didn't make junk. He made us to have dominion over this earth. I am looking at queens and kings and rulers. I am looking at some folks that God has given a great responsibility to take care of this earth. I am looking at folks with a wealth of responsibility to take care of this planet, to take care of one another. And church, if we don't get the rest that we need and the rest that God offers, we will be no good for this planet or one another. In Sabbath, we are reminded of God's beauty, and we rediscover our delight that is found in God's delight. As God's prized possession, he established Sabbath and rest to prolong its beauty. God created this earth and he wants it to stay beautiful. And he's using us to keep it beautiful, to prolong it, its usefulness and productivity. And we can't do that for the earth if we're so tired and so busy. In Sabbath, we are refreshed with God's love as God ministers to us in Sabbath. In Sabbath, we recharge so that we can be better caretakers of the earth and one another. You know, last week, I just shared that we went to church camp last week. Some of the teens here and had a great time at camp. And I'll be honest with you. There are parts of my body that's hurting right now. We walked a lot of hills. The older boys' cabin, we were up the hill. You know, cabin three, very good. We were cabin three. Walking up and down that hill took its toll. Playing volleyball took its toll. Playing basketball took its toll. My body hurts a little bit, but I have to be honest with you. My mind and my heart and my spirit is recharged. You know, all week, I did not open my laptop once. I didn't write one sermon word, nothing. Other than an emergency text that I got during the middle of the week, Harley was on my cell phone. I think my wife probably even think, man, has he forgotten me? I didn't forget you, baby. But man, we were we were disconnected from busyness and chaos. And it was good. And there was this one night, and I wish I would have put the picture up here. There was this one night down by the lake, the beach area. You're looking across the lake in the western sky, that we saw the most beautiful sunset that I think I've ever seen. I mean, it just, it was so beautiful. And what was so cool is that there was a lot of things going on at camp. There were a lot of games, you know, had to be here, got to be here, got to go here, got to do that, got to do this. At that one moment, the whole camp, 200 people, stopped. You know, rambunctious teenagers who were plotting their next camp prank, they all stopped. And we all looked and gazed at that sunset. And here's my fear. That sunset probably happens more often than not. But you know what? We miss it. We miss it because we're so busy and we don't take time to enjoy it and see it. So even though my body aches a bit from the hills, I'm recharged. And I believe that because of last week, I'm going to be more available and I'm going to be more effective in ministry. I needed last week. And so church, we need retreat. We need rhythm. We need rest. We need recharge. This is God's will for your life. And this is the way that we will recover our lives. So, church, over the next few moments, I just want to pray over us that we would accept Jesus' invitation to rest. I want to read some prayers. I'm asking God to receive these prayers on behalf of this church. If you want to, you can take a posture of comfort, close your eyes if you like, lift your head up if you like, get on your knees if you like. But I want us to pray for rest. Let's pray. Lord, please receive these prayers for our church. Right now, I'm praying for the one or ones whose life is moving so rapidly that they get lost and can't catch up. And so, Father, I pray, dear Father, this world seems to move faster and faster, and we're trying to keep up. But God, in the whirlwind, instead, we get caught up. Like an unbeatable force, it pulls us in, but we know eventually we cannot win. We must learn to rest in your perfect peace. And though good, let all endeavors cease. Oh, that our feet would mimic your pace, so your joy would be set on our faces. Help us, Jesus, to slow down when you would. Help us, Lord, to rest as we should. Thank you for loving us just as we are. Thank you that rest is part of your plan. Amen. We also pray. Lord, we've been so prone to evaluate our value in terms of what we produce. We've believed wrong things about how you see us, keeping us from being as close as you desire. For those who are overcome with a sense of inadequacy, today we surrender. We move in to dwell permanently in your love. We choose to rest and abide. In Jesus' name, amen. For those who simply need to let go, what's preventing the rest is that they cannot let go. I pray, dear God, please help us to rest. Please help us to remember that you are all there is. We place our list of things to do in your hands. Just for a moment, we let it go. We place any thoughts about how things should be different in your hands. Just for a moment, we let them go. We place any thoughts about how someone else should be different in your hands. Just for a moment, we let them go. We place any thoughts about how we should be different in your hands, and just for a moment, we let them go. Right now, just for a moment, we allow things to be exactly as they are. We allow ourselves to be exactly as we are. And so we rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe, church, we need to hear the sweet words of Jesus sung over us. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. So allow this song to be a prayer spoken over us.
Come unto me, all ye that labor.
Those of you who fly a lot, probably when the stewardess gets up and, or flight attendant, gets up and begins to give their instructions about the flight, and you know, talks about safety and seat belts. And many of you who fly a lot, you probably go to sleep during that time because you've heard it 1,000 times. But I don't fly a lot, and when I do fly, I pay attention. And the flight attendant, when they talk about the oxygen masks, they always say the same thing about the oxygen mask. And I think it's very important for us to understand this. They say if something happens where you need oxygen, the oxygen masks are going to come down. And then they demonstrate how to put the oxygen mask on. They say if someone needs assistance putting on their oxygen mask, put yours on first, and then put the oxygen mask on the person who needs assistance. Now that might sound like a throwaway comment. It's very important. Because if I don't have on my oxygen mask and I'm disoriented, I'm really no good for the other person. Church, Sabbath is like an oxygen mask. Because if we don't get the rest that we need, the rest that we're supposed to get, if we're not rested and we're not in rhythm with God, and if we're not getting recharged, how can we be any good for anyone else? So church, in terms of our lives, let's put our oxygen masks on first. We've got to get rest. The first week, I ask you to find 2 hours in the week just for you. The next week, I ask you to find 4 hours just for you. Last week, I ask you to find 6 hours and just the whole week, just 6 hours just for yourself. So how many people found 6 hours? Very good. Very good. All right, church. 8 hours this week. Your heart just stopped. No, I don't want your heart to stop. I want it to keep beating. I want you to be alive. I want you to find 8 hours this week just for yourself. Enjoy it. Delight in God. Read scripture. Pray. Play. Do something you like to do. That's what Sabbath is. I want to close with a quote from an author. He writes in quote, "In general, we are very busy people. We have many meetings to attend, many visits to make, many services to lead. Our calendars are filled with appointments, our days and weeks filled with the engagements, and our years filled with plans and projects. There is seldom a period in which we do not know what to do. And we move through life in such a distracted way that we do not even take the time and rest to wonder if any of the things we think, say, or do are worth thinking, saying, or doing." Now, what he is saying is this, that we're so busy doing things that we don't even take a break to stop and ask the question, should I even be doing this? Is it even worth it to be doing this? We don't even have time to rest to evaluate our busyness. Isn't that a shame? But church, if we're gonna be God's co-creators, we're gonna be healthy spiritual beings, if we're gonna be better husbands and better wives and better children and better siblings and better church members and better servants in the community, we better stop. We better pause. We better get some rest. We better find rest. We better listen to Jesus' invitation to come and to rest so that we will be recharged. Church, I pray that there's been something I've said in the past 4 weeks that will lead you towards, even if it's just for a moment over the next or the remainder of this year, to just take a break, take a rest. Do something for yourself. I'm not asking you to hate work. I'm asking you to love work. God loved work. I want you to love work. This is not a call to be lazy. This is a call to do your work better by resting. We'll be better to this planet, and we'll be better for one another when we rest. Amen. As we sing this song of Lord's Reign, another reason for us to take break and to take a rest is to call down God's reign in our lives. We're going to sing a song that celebrates that call. A lot of us want God to take over our lives and to dwell in our lives, and that's a noble goal. I hope we all feel that way. Again, our busyness sometimes just does not allow that to take place because we're just not still enough to allow God to come to overcome our lives, to possess our lives, and to reign in us. So as we sing this song, this celebratory song, this is a song where right now we're calling down God's reign. We've just prayed a few prayers of calling that rest to enter our lives. That this is a song to celebrate God answering that prayer, and it's also a song that I hope will launch us into living that reality in our lives. If there's something while we're singing this song that is moving in your heart, you want to share that with the church, we're going to give you that opportunity. If you want to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, we'll also provide that opportunity. Let's stand, let's sing.